the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movie-less wasteland. Civilization has crumbled. Pillaging marauders fight for control. And all live in fear of the Terra people. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to another episode of Apocalypse Video, bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland since the year 20XX. I'm your host, David Snyder, and joining me once again are fellow wastelanders and cinephiles, Cody Eastlick.
Hello, hello, hello!
Ryan Caldwell.
Hey, guys!
And the man in the machine, the one who runs the store, and some would say, our very lives, Chad Greiner.
The cake is not a lie, David.
Of course, Chad. I would never question you. Not ever. Don't upset Chad, guys. I'm not sure if he's beholden to the three laws of robotics or not.
What was that, Dave? I couldn't quite hear you.
Nothing, Chad. I was just saying how awesome you are. Oh, thank God. Hello, sir. Welcome to Apocalypse Video. You've just stumbled into a recording we're doing here. Perhaps you've heard of our weekly broadcasts?
Mm-hmm.
You have? Okay, good. Well, what can we help you find today? How about something in action or fantasy? You know what? I think I have just the movie for you. Now stay with me on this, guys. I know we were about to watch and discuss Citizen Kane, arguably the greatest movie ever made, one of the 100 movies to see before you die, yada, yada, yada. But you know what? Sometimes we have to put aside what we want and do what's best for them, the customers.
I don't know about this, Dave. This guy looks like some sort of alligator man.
You just cited a third of our audience, Cody. Chad, load the dark crystal.
What do we say, David?
Chad. Would you please load the dark crystal?
Affirmative.
The Dark Crystal. It begins as a quest.
You must find the Shard. The Crystal Shard.
The Crystal Shard?
To save our world, Gilfling.
A wonder-filled fantasy adventure. Journey into a mystical realm of sights and sounds. Enter the world of the Dark Crystal. Now from directors Jim Henson and Frank Oz, and Gary Kurtz, the producer of Star Wars, comes a new dimension of fantasy and adventure. another world, another time, in the Age of Wonder. The Dark Crystal.
Thank you, Chad. I think that, yes, that about sums this movie up. Insofar as the visuals and the creature design. That's what I would for. Everything else, not so much. Like, this movie, as far as visually sumptuous as it is, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first time I had wives. Well, no, actually, I take that back. Chad and I had watched this a long time ago, and my only takeaway, the only thing I really remembered about this movie going in the second time watching it, was that I thought that the Gelflings look creepy as fuck. Mm-hmm. Their faces creep me out.
Especially when you see the nude Jen right at the start, and he looks like a Ken doll.
Yeah, exactly. They creep me out, and that was like the one takeaway I had from this movie. I literally remembered nothing else from this movie. Nothing at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I forgot about the story. I forgot about what the crystal was, what it did. I forgot about the Skeksis, the weird tick guys. I forget exactly what their names are.
Grothans.
Garthulms or something like that. They creep me out. But I remember nothing except the Gelflings. And like I said, aside from some awesome, like, this could, like, I could say, like, I've seen a lot of Jim Henson stuff. This might be some of his best stuff, I think. In terms of, like, quality and volume, there is a ton of shit in this movie that looks awesome, and you could tell a lot of care went into it, but just, I don't think the same could be said for the story. It's very basic and dull.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I guess my history with this is, back in the old world, I had a friend that lived behind me, and I think he had, like, this, like, recorded off VHS, off TV, off HBO or something like that. And I remember watching it at his house, like, didn't know anything about it. And then also, I think I maybe borrowed it one time and took it home. I just had to be, like, being 11 or 10 or something like that. And I had not seen it since then.
Like, did you remember a lot from it?
I mean, I've seen, like, a lot of the photos and been to, like, and seen a lot of Jim Henson, like, history stuff regarding it. But not much. Like, I didn't really remember the story too much. Just the characters and some of the visuals that stuck in your mind. Like, those damn beetle creatures. What are they called again?
Garthams, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that stuck in my mind as, like, a scary-ass thing as a kid, for sure. So, but yeah, that's about it. That's all my background for this really was.
Well, I mean, let's kind of, before we, what about honestly,
did you ever see this?
Yeah, did you have any history of this movie?
Yeah, I remember watching it not too long ago. I guess time is kind of tough out here in the waste, but I feel like recently in my life I've watched it. And yet, I don't remember any of it because I was trashed when I watched it. It felt like watching it for the first time, aside from the very beginning of this movie. That I was like, yes, okay, this all I remember. But it was basically watching it for the first time.
And, I mean, so it sounded like you kind of had a similar take as me. Like, cool visuals, but it's slow, boring movie kind of.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just because we forced ourselves to watch it in the store just now, but I did not find myself too taken by it. It felt very much... looked cool, and not all of it, but some of it looked cool. But yeah, the story that was supporting it was just so unremarkable as to be kind of like, yeah, like the movie, it tells you, there's like so all these prophecies, right? It's like, oh, this is what's going to happen, and here's how it's going to happen, and this Gelfling's going to do it this way. But there's never any sense of danger. Like, it's just, this is how it's going to happen, and then it happens, and you're like, cool.
It was very basic, the story. It's like, a long time ago, there was a crystal, and it broke. And now there's a prophecy where a Gelfling is going to take the shard, which we later find out is literally in, like, a box of garbage, reattach it to the crystal, and then that's it. It's just, like, the most basic fantasy story ever.
Well, you had to have, like, the story of, like, the different people that were split in, like, the two... different, like the Skeksis and what are like the big versions?
The Mystics.
Mystics.
Like, yeah, it's kind of like Skeksis and the Mystics, and they're all part of the whatever.
And, yeah.
And they were like, yeah, separated and stuff. Well, I mean, this is kind of, I guess, jumping ahead. I was doing a little research on the movie, and I guess originally the movie was like, there was not a lot of exposition. It was a lot of just visuals and like silence from the characters. The only characters that spoke English were the Gelflings, and then everybody else was either just like sounds and noises, or just like, and I don't even know if it had subtitles really.
Well, we watched a special feature on the Blu-ray of the original test footage, and yeah, like the scene, the one we watched was the scene of the Succession of Power, kind of, where they have that fight. It's like, who can make the bigger dent in the pillar rock thing, whatever.
Trial and, by stone.
Yeah, the whole scene leading up to it, it's like, in the theatrical version, they're like, I think I should be king. No, I think I'll be king for better reasons. And then finally the guy's like, and he just like takes the thing and just shows a sign of power, and they fight each other, kind of.
Yeah. But in the scene, it doesn't.
In the original scene, there's no dialogue. It's just like,
and there's no subtitles.
It's just them squabbling.
Do you think like that the movie would have felt less like basic if that was the way it was going to be, of just like sounds and you kind of like piecing together the movie as it's going on, and then at the end it kind of like makes sense? Do you think that would have been?
Yeah, but I think it would have been less basic, but I think it would have been too obtuse. I think it would have been too unenjoyable.
And that's why they changed it. They did a test screening, and no one knew what the fuck was happening. Yeah, so Jim Henson last minute's like, I don't think
just because it would have been more interesting means it would have been a better movie, because it would have been no doubt more interesting. But it would have been like, why should I care about any of this? Because as it is, even knowing everything, I don't care about any of them. So it's like, if I didn't know what was happening, I would have even less reason to care about them. Granted, the Gelflings speak English. So, I mean, I guess you'd care about them a little bit more. But
you didn't even find out about them until, like, you don't get their backstory until, like, the middle of the movie in, like, a super shoehorned in flashback sequence.
Yeah.
I don't care about the Skeksis. I don't care about the Mystics, because we don't really get a good enough idea of their backstory or who they are. Or really, I don't feel like the Styx,
or what they're doing.
Or like, what they're doing.
The Skeksis are emperors, but what do? They just sit in their thing. They eat food, and like, and I guess it. Occasionally they send out roach people to fuck up Gelflings. But
the few remaining. The thing about this movie is like, there's so few people left. Like, there's only so many Skeksis and Mystics, and I guess only two Gelflings.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the way they find like the Podlings or Pod people or whatever the fuck, and I guess they're people, a Podlings, race of people that exist. But I don't get a sense of like the people really that inhabit this world, what they do. So like if the Skeksis win, it's just like, okay, so they're just gonna keep being assholes in their dark tower or whatever. And if the Mystics win, it's like, I guess nothing really will happen. I don't really have a good clear sense of what the stakes are.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Maybe not stakes, but I just felt like
the consequences.
Didn't care. Yeah, I just didn't care. That's the thing. We watched this movie and I just didn't care at all. I was just like, okay, it looks kind of fun, but as it kept going, I was like, no.
Like, almost every scene in this movie goes on way longer than it should.
Yeah.
I feel like every scene
and many
is
of them exist for no reason, because they're telling the same information we've seen already.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of that is like, it's kind of got fucked up, I think, in them after the test screenings, because
Ryan, I know you want to pitch this movie as being ruined without like that, but I cannot express enough that I think you would hate this movie without dialogue. No. I think you would be like, I think you would think it was ridiculous.
Oh, I think like, okay, here's the thing, is like, you're saying like things we already know, like there was a scene in the special features where the Gelflings like looking for that like old lady looking character. And in the original,
Ogma,
like, Agra, whatever.
Yeah, Agra. Yeah,
you have like all these like inner monologues he's saying, and like that doesn't sound like he was originally there. And
that sounded shoehorned into.
And so, yeah. I don't know. Like, I think it would have been like this interesting, like, what the fuck? Like, I think you would be like, what the fuck's happening? And at the end, you realize like, oh, the Skeksis and the Mystics, whatever, are like the same, and we're split, type of thing. I think it would have been like almost like. It's almost experimental in a way, but I don't know. I think it would have been a lot better and just like weirder. And I don't know. I think visually it is pretty. It's damn compelling, and it is so interesting. But I mean, you're right though. You almost don't care because everything is laid out for you. But I don't know. It's a strange movie for sure. And I'm how it holds up. And I don't know.
You know, I would have been fine with the movie doing that if the runtime was shorter. If they had gotten to those moments quicker, when you realize one Skeksis die and then you see a Mystic disappear. You know what I mean? And get to that twist sooner. Like this, like I feel like this movie could have been like at least 15 minutes shorter.
Well, I think I feel like even in the opening exposition, it tells you that the Skeksis and the Mystics are the same.
Oh, do they?
I swear to God, I thought they
there
did.
There was a lot that kind of like flew over my head.
Maybe it was just because they said there's 10 Skeksis left. Because the lines are the same. It says the Skeksis, there are 10 of them left. The Emperor is dying. The Mystics, there are 10 of them left. The Wisest is dying. Like, they just say the same lines and they just change out the nouns. And I was just like, I get it. They're the same fucking people. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was just too much. Man.
I don't think that would originally be there, because I feel like it would have been like, just you kind of see it happening. You see as the old one, the Skeksis, and the bed dies. The good guy dies, and then there's a part where like he's like scratched, and you see him, the other one, the Mystic, scratched later, and just like things like that kind of piece together. But you know, right off the bat, as like a functioning adult, like, oh, they're the same. Because they've told me everything about it, but I think it would have been like more of like a puzzle pieces happening when it got to the end.
Maybe, but I feel like for it to be an enjoyable puzzle, like it needs to be, like the only time a puzzle's ever fun to do is if you know what it's supposed to be. Like you look at the cover art of the puzzle and you go, okay, now let me put all the pieces together. If this was a movie where you didn't understand anybody and the only thing you saw was like what was happening, then you don't even know what you're looking at. I feel like the puzzle would have been too obtuse to be able to go, oh, okay, I see what's happening. I'm enjoying this because I'm getting it. Like, I don't know. I guess I just don't know. If the Gelflings are speaking English, so at first it's just Jen for a while, just him. Is he ever talking? Because it's just him? Probably not, so it doesn't even matter. So, like, I think it would be almost too much of a puzzle to be enjoyable. You wouldn't even know where to start to begin to piece it together.
Yeah.
You would go into this movie and you go, ah, one for the Dark Crystal, please. Okay, I know the movie's called The Dark Crystal, and then it'd start, and you're like, oh, I guess that's the crystal. Okay, they're doing something with the suns. Interesting. One of them's sick and died. Uh-huh. Oh, this one's talking to the Gelfling. Oh, he's speaking English. Okay, all right, cool. Oh, he doesn't really seem like he wants to do this. Oh, I get it. He's refuting the call. You know, he's turning down that whole thing. I don't know. I think it was just a really poorly written story. Even if it wasn't expositionful, I just don't think it's a worthwhile story.
Well, there's just not a lot of meat to it. Aside from the visuals, like, story-wise, there's not a lot of meat to it. Like, he gets the Mystic tells him, like, the prophecy, you're supposed to be the one to, you know, bring the shard to the crystal and bring balance to everything or whatever. But that's it. Like, he doesn't really find out much along the way. I mean, he meets Agra, and what is a really cool set with, like,
the set's the device. Great.
Sets
cool.
are
yeah.
stellar, fantastic. The creatures are awesome looking, but there's just no substance to it. There's no meat to it. Like, there's no, in fact, like, I was wanting a bit more variety in the villains. Like, it was the Skeksis in their thing, and they send out the Garthams or whatever, and that's it. Like there's a moment when they're like, oh,
well, there's like crystal bats,
then... like, oh, cool, some variety. Nope, they're instantly like subverted. They can see them, you know, they can see, use the crystal, the Skeksis can use the crystal bats to see Jin and the other one,
Kira,
but that's it. There's nothing. It's other than that, it's always just the same thing. They're running from the, you know, the Garthams catch them, and that's it. It's just like there's not a lot of variety, and it's just, you know, and then out of nowhere, and this is kind of like a fantasy trope of the 80s. There's got to be like a weird cantina scene. I guess you can thank Star Wars for this, but a weird cantina-esque Ewok scene when like they fraternize with the villagers and they have beer and this and ha 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 and they dance and I'm gonna pull out my flute and da 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 and then the party's crashed. It's like there's always a scene like that. Like they could have cut that scene out.
I like that scene actually though.
Well, on its own, it's fine, but like in the grand scheme of things, I think it just slows the movie down because, again, there's nothing going on. Like, nothing is discovered in this scene. Nothing is learned. It's just, other than Kira's friends with these people. That's it.
What's crazy is I'm just like wondering. So the Dark Crystal, the story by credit goes to Jim Henson, and then there's a screenplay by David O'Dell. So, you know, he put it together. But like, is Jim Henson just like not a good idea guy, but it's like, no, I think he's responsible for a bunch of episodes of dinosaurs, probably a bunch of episode ideas for the Muppets, and like, you know, a lot of those are hits, but maybe it's just like an idea that's an hour and a half long or 2 hours long or however long this movie was.
It was just an hour and a half or so.
I don't know. It seems like something you'd tell a friend when you're high as a kite. You're like, so it's like this, man. It's like, and then he does this. And then they just took that down note by note and didn't try and like spiff it up a bit. You know? They weren't like, oh, okay, no, I get your idea. You want to just do a basic hero's journey, but with puppets. Cool, let's do that. Let's make it like this. Instead, they just said, cool, you want to do the hero's journey with puppets? Here it is, the hero's journey with puppets. Just completely uninteresting. I don't know, man.
Just dumb me to it.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing because it starts out and you're just like, all right, what am I watching? This is weird. Okay, 10 of these things, 10 of these others. The visuals are cool. Like,
well,
it has it has those early 80s visuals. Like, it reminds me of Heavy Metal. I don't know if you guys have seen that. Mm-hmm. Or Fire and Ice, like old animation that's just weird and crazy, but tries to tell something specific. This one was just more like, look at our fucking puppets, man. Look how good our puppets are.
You know, we talked about Logan's Run and how that guy had a great story but poor visuals. This is the flip side of that. A shitty story with awesome visuals.
Yeah. Well, I don't even want to say shitty because it's not bad. It's not
just not baked anything. Enough. Like, throw it's it in just, the oven, let just, it cook it, for a little it, bit.
Yeah, it's not. It's just a straight line. It's just, that's what it is. We know. We've seen this arc in everything else.
Like you said, and there's no twist to it because they tell us in the beginning of the movie that they're the same.
This is the prophecy. Here's how it happens.
Here's how the movie's going to end.
Yeah, essentially. And you're like, okay. And I don't know why the movie makes it seem like it's like you gotta heal the crystal. You have the shard. You got to heal. And he's like, how? How do I do it? And then it gets to it and you're like, yeah, of course. There's a hole. And you put like, it doesn't seem like anything magical happened to take place. Like, it was just, no, just take the shard and stick it in the hole in the crystal.
That's what I'm saying. It was so basic. All he has to do is go like that. Let me glue the shard back on. Yes, boom, we're done.
It's not like you have to, like, pray over it. He doesn't make a wish. He doesn't, like, express some sort of growth as a character.
No.
Jen does nothing. He is told to go get a crystal from a wise woman. She'll find it. He goes. He does that thing he's been told to do. She gives him the crystal. He then falls down a mountainside, meets the second girl. She's like, I'll guide you to this part. Cool. He follows her to that point. Then they get kidnapped. Then he's there, and then he just does it. Like, who fucking cares? Sorry, I'm just like, more and more I think about it, the more and more I just like aggressively don't care. Well,
it hurts, too, that this was one of those movies that even though it was only an hour and a half long, it felt like double the length.
Yes, yeah.
Those are always brutal.
Yeah. He needed like maybe like a Death Star moment. Type of thing or something.
Well, it's like they kind of try to do it that way by the way they film it. Like, there's a moment where it's like, I don't know if I should do this. Like, if I should jump, it's like, dude, it's like 3 feet jump down. It's just like, it's not this huge thing going on, and they're all preoccupied. It's just
it's so weird.
I think that, I think you're totally right, but I don't know. I think that there's, something to it. I don't know. There's something like, I don't know. I think it is worth watching. I don't know with that whole.
Well, here's the thing. I would say this movie is worth watching once, if only for the visuals. Like, this is a movie. Like, maybe this is the thing. Maybe if you were to get stoned or something or drunk, watch this movie, maybe you'd have a better time because you could just kind of take in the visuals. Because I would say this for the movie, every shot has great looking visuals.
Yeah.
Whether it be creatures or the sets.
Mm-hmm. And I think it just seems like there's so much exposition dump about this world.
Right up front.
But then the world is pretty much uninhabited, except for a few creatures, except for, you know, like, oh, Longstriders.
This one patch with they the show podlings up. Or whatever.
Yeah, and so it's like, okay, you're telling me this cool thing exists, but then you're not letting me see any of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, this world is this. For thousands of years, it's been this, and these things. But it's not about those things. It's not about these things. It's about this guy, Jen. And it's about the one other, like, the ugly oracle lady that he meets, who, for sure, real quick, guys, they molded nipples onto that puppet. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but you could see nipples through the shirt. She
looked like what Quato's mother from Total Recall would probably look like. My first thought was Quato.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
It's weird that puppet, I was looking into it, and it was Frank Oz that was piloting her, but it wasn't his voice. But in the special features and the delete and like the alternate scenes, it was Frank Oz like doing like the Yoda voice basically for that character.
Oh, see, gross. I don't like that. Don't bring Yoda into this.
Well, it was like a Yoda-esque, you know, like because he's you know, Grover, you know, is the same kind of Frank Oz go-to, I guess, voice type of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, it. Yeah, that was a weird character for sure, though.
It just seemed like they set up a lot of cool things, but didn't show us any of it. Instead, it was just, like, all about one guy straight up just putting a crystal in a rock. I mean...
And they're so unremarkable. Like Olga literally has a bunch of crystals. Like, here, pick it.
Yeah, and that, you know what? That was a moment where there was a challenge. And he goes, now what do I do? I don't know what to do. And he plays his little, his harp or his flute. It's called a, I think it's called a Jew flute, actually. It's like a small mouth harp or something. Mm-hmm. And then the crystal resonates and he's like, cool. That was the one time we saw him do anything that like...
Like one sort of obstacle.
And even then he was told to do something like that. Like it flashes back and it was like, you know, you listen to your ear or some shit. I don't know.
Well, that's what his thing is. Like, that was all an inner monologue, wasn't it? Kind of thing. Like him, kind of. Like I remember, it, like he's just like that. What do I do? Blah blah blah. Like, I have a feeling that it was just all added in, like because people didn't know what he was doing or like what.
Well, if that's the case, it was also added in poorly. So it's like, all right, so people didn't know what was happening. Okay, so we're gonna quickly make it so it's terrible. So, is there a winning option of this movie?
Yeah, I was thinking about it during it because there's always a lot of shots of the Gelflings like from far away, and they're like actually just like humans like running around.
Yes, they're for sure people wearing clothes.
They're little people.
They're not little people.
They were played by little people.
What?
Like the guy that was Jan, the body is. I'm looking at it right now. His name is Karen Shaw, and he was like he's a little guy, and he was like in The Hobbit a bunch. He was in Superman, Raiders. Tons of shit. He was actually in Force Awakens. He's Tito.
Who's Tito?
Remember, he's like, that's Tito, the little scavenger guy that like puts a net over BB.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He doesn't respect anyone or anything. Yeah.
But no. What was I saying? Fuck. What was I talking about?
You're talking about the little.
There's
people
a lot of shots of them running around.
I was thinking, like, what if like the Gelflings were just like human like kids like played by you know like
but then Jim Henson wouldn't have been able to show off how big his puppet dick is. The thing is, I feel this movie was made for him to feel like he's great.
Well, this was so the first live action movie with no humans,
but there were humans.
So that's the thing, like, right? Aside from
that's what I'm saying.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. It does. It do you get the sense like the story was secondary?
It's like a vanity project. Which yes. like the thing that he's showing on display. Yeah, it's
well,
good,
it was
dude.
Him
your puppets.
And Frank
like,
Oz that directed it. So
well, yeah. Look at our puppet dicks.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. And like I get it because your puppets are great. Like that's cool. The problem is that this isn't just. It, you know what? Maybe I'm looking at it as a movie because that's what I've been presented as a movie, mm-hmm. but I should really look at it as an hour and a half long puppet show. Puppet shows are simple. Like the story isn't too fucking dense normally, but it kind of, I think it just, at a certain point, it doesn't matter if somebody's great at doing something when they're rubbing your face in it. You're like, I don't like you anymore. Like, yeah. Stop doing this, please.
Do you think, I don't see it that way. It's weird. I don't know. I see it as just like wanting to try something. Like, yeah, like try something different, weird, like giving yourself some restraint or not restraint, but like giving yourself like challenges to do, like, yeah, let's do a whole movie with just the puppets and do like a fantasy Lord of the Rings Tolkien kind of thing.
Like, well, I think
I do not compare this to Tolkien stuff because that dude created a fucking world.
I think the Vanity Project still applies in that case. It's like, let's just see if we can do this. You know what I mean? But the unfortunately, the story part was seen kind of secondary to them.
Yeah, which, you know, fucking,
at least that's just my perception.
Yeah, and that's how I feel. And I feel like, you know, movies are collaborative projects, is multiple different things going into work at it. So if you're coming from it as like, well, we do this one thing really good, we'll just do all of it, that doesn't mean it's going to be a good movie. It just
doesn't sound like that was like it was just one guy. Like they're like Gary Kurtz that produced like all the best Star Wars movies, like was the producer on it, and they talked like they went big into like trying to work out different languages for characters and stuff like that. And I think like their heart's in the right place to try to make something like that was dense, but maybe it just didn't come across that way, the finished product.
Yeah. Which, I mean, yeah, it's
Then in that case, they really failed, because Cody and me are looking at it like it was a vanity project. So then they really did not do a good job of getting that across then.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I think that, like, I don't know, like, why? What's the hurt of trying to do something weird like that?
Nothing's the hurt of trying, man, but it's just, you know, if you're going to ask people then to watch it, you know, I think you got to give them something to enjoy. They tried, absolutely, that's the thing. But I'm just going to say, if somebody goes like, oh, I never saw The Dark Crystal, I'd be like, yeah, you don't really need to. Like, you don't. I think what you're going to see is probably better done in, like, Labyrinth, like later movies that still use all that great puppet work, but have somebody else coming in with, like, a story already or whatever.
Like the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, just like the Super Mario Brothers movies. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just did not enjoy it. By all means, try and make your movie. Try and make your thing. But that's what I'm saying is it didn't feel like they were trying to make a movie as much as they were trying to make a puppet show, you know, and it just kind of it just got lost in translation. Does that mean they should die? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that they were unsuccessful in their attempt to make something enjoyable. Is it worthwhile? That's a different argument, right? Because it's not totally enjoyable.
But it is beautiful.
And so it's like, well, it depends, you know, what you're looking for in your hour and a half.
Yeah.
Is it to see something cool and, like, you're not too, you know, interested in like, its intricate story or a fantasy thing or whatever? Then, yeah, you could probably watch this and feel mostly okay about it. But if you're trying to watch just a fun movie, this is a denser thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Labyrinth was only a few years later, and you know, maybe
yeah, like it was like four or five years later,
and it's like,
yeah,
you know, like maybe because that's why I was thinking, like, maybe the movie could have had more like heart and be able to attach to it if like the Gelflings were actually like human characters,
we're just humans, yeah. But that's the thing, right? It sounds like they made it specifically because they wanted to say there's no humans in it, look what we can do, and then well, maybe if you had used humans, like, there's a reason to use them, you know.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I will...
Hubris, I say hubris.
One thing, because I mentioned in the beginning, my only memory of this movie was the creepy-looking Gelflings. There was, like, for as good as all the other creatures are in this movie, the Gelflings look like shit.
Yeah, I think it was because they are meant to look like humans. Like
meant to, but they have no facial articulation at all. Their mouths barely move. I'm like, these are supposed to be the main characters of the movie, and their faces barely move.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I thought the Mystics were the most interesting characters, and we barely get to see them. I was like, what are these things? Like, they have four arms. They're long, like, dinosaur-looking motherfuckers.
Yeah, it's like I get the Skeksis. They're assholes. They like to eat, and they're sloths. And in fact, looking at the trivia for this movie, they were originally meant to be the seven deadly sins. Each one was supposed to represent
one. Oh, man, how deep. What a deep thing that they came up with.
Yeah, I kind of got that same.
It's supposed to be like kind of like a movie kids.
No, for sure. For sure, it's supposed to be like a kids movie.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Ryan. So I think we've all taken our shits on the movie. Let's try to talk some positive stuff about this movie.
Ryan's trying.
He's trying. I give you credit, Ryan. You're trying to spin this. But you mentioned kids. So I love that this...
I feel like I'm just getting... You know what it is, Ryan? I'm voicing this, like, dislike, but not even dislike. It's more like just ambivalence. Mm-hmm. But as I'm being forced to talk more about my ambivalence, it's making me agitated, which is making me go like, no, fuck this movie, because I feel nothing for it.
Well, let's try to spin it. One thing I think that I love about this movie is that it's a movie that's not afraid to make kids afraid. Like, when we were watching this, like, when the Garthams appear, I was like, I literally said this out loud. I was like, oh, great. So I guess I'm not sleeping tonight.
Yeah.
Like, when those things came out, I was like, what horror is this? Like, they're like crab, spider, tick looking motherfuckers, and they're all black, and they're obviously guys in suits, you know, but something about them just creeped me the fuck out.
Yeah. Like,
and also. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, a lot of the characters like that just are just like almost, yeah, like every character, even the good ones, are creepy as hell, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, the only ones who aren't, I'd say, are the Mystics, because they look like herbivores. You look at them, those look like, they look like, you know, fucking leaf dinosaurs. But the podlings are creepy. When the podlings are turned into the slaves, they look fucking like nightmares. Mm-hmm. And the Skeksis are absolutely fucking demon spawn.
Like, modeled after alligators, I read.
Jesus.
But yeah, the Skeksis. Let's talk about them a little bit. They pretty much open the movie. Like, these guys are horrifying looking. Like, especially, and this again, getting into the movie that's not afraid to make kids afraid. They straight up, after we mentioned earlier that test of honor or the, you know, role of succession, mm-hmm. when that guy loses, the guy,
yep.
they strip the
Chamberlain.
Him. Yeah. Chamberlain. They strip him.
Yeah.
And he looks like this withered, like, fucking, chicken. He looks like baby Voldemort, like in the yeah. fantasy train station dream sequence thing, whatever the hell that was in Harry Potter Deathly Hallows 2. Like, he looks like this shriveled up, like, chicken baby thing. And it's, like, fucking weird. Like, I was like, holy, and especially, like, when the emperor, the prior emperor dies, I thought, oh, he's just gonna disappear. This is a fantasy movie. No, he fucking crumbles away. Yeah.
Well, you got to remember, these are the same people who went on to make The Witches, and that movie's fucking terrifying.
I've never seen that movie. Is that a better Jim Henson movie?
Absolutely.
Which
one? Add that to our list.
The Witches. The Witches?
I don't remember The Witches for some reason.
It's the movie where, it's...
We'll have to watch
it. It's worthwhile. Time. It's actually, a movie.
But anyway, yeah, he literally crumbles
maybe,
away.
Maybe, hold on. Maybe I'm overselling it. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember being fucking spooked by that
Your movie. Memory is that it's better than this movie.
Yeah, so far.
But yeah, it's just that wasn't upsetting, but I was like, holy fuck, they went there. That guy decayed. And when they stripped that guy, at that point, I was like, this movie ain't afraid of shit. Like, it's not afraid to creep kids out. Like, and like later on in the movie, when they capture the podlings and they're torturing one of them and the laser beams like shoot into his eyes, I was like, this movie is fucking harsh.
Yeah.
And Absolutely. Then that same guy, the torturer guy, gets literally thrown into a pit of fire.
Yeah.
I was like, this movie's taking no prisoners, man.
Yeah, which I appreciate. Like, I like my fantasy to, you know, not have kids' gloves on. But
And speaking of the guy falling in the fire, this could be a thing on the show. How would you guys rate this guy falling scene?
Guy falling.
Because that's a big thing in movies, guy falling. Into yeah. something or off something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I can't even remember it.
Right now. Think it was okay. I think the one thing it was... Because usually with things with guys falling, it either looks convincing or it doesn't. And more often than not, it does not look convincing. In this case, I thought it looked convincing enough. My only problem with it was he should have burst into flames at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's lava down there. Why didn't he burst into flames?
Yeah.
This movie certainly wasn't afraid of like brutality.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know.
Ryan, what about you? How would you rate this guy falling?
I'm trying to remember that exactly, but it probably was okay compared to if it was stuck out being bad, I probably would remember it more.
Like, it's certainly not as bad as the guy in Turtles 3 falling into the ocean.
That's the worst one ever.
I don't remember that one.
Like, I think the best one's probably Hans Gruber and Die Hard. I think we could probably all agree that's, if not the best, certainly one of the best guy falling moments, but this one's like probably middle of the road. It's not bad, it's not great, it's just okay, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, watching stuff like this makes me wonder, like, what if, like, Henson didn't die in 91, like, what he would have maybe have done, like, in, like, the digital age. Like, I'm curious, like, what kind of stuff that would come about.
Well, it won't come from Jim Henson, Ryan, but evidently they were going to make a Netflix, or did make a Netflix show, I believe, or a prequel movie.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's weird. It's just one of those things where I feel like, I mean, you know, we can talk about it now. Netflix doesn't exist here, so fuck you, Netflix. You know, they just latch onto something that had a cult following, and it's people who...
Name
you
brand, know, baby.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, they remember it. People like that. These people won't like that. I'm telling you. But
it's a prequel. I know that much.
And you know what? Cool. They're getting back to a time where there might have been
story.
Yeah, more interesting things, and who knows? I don't know. If we ever stumble across a USB drive full of Netflix shows, I'd be interested in seeing it. But
I'm sure it exists. I mean, Chad's been able to lock to get into some servers and get some, you know, movies.
You say these things, but I have yet to see any results.
Well, Chad likes to keep it close to his digital chest.
I'm just saying, what do we know about him really?
He's my friend.
Yeah, not anymore. Now he's an operating system.
He's in there somewhere, goddammit.
I've seen movies about this exact thing, and it does not end good for us.
It's going to be okay.
Hope. Also, I would keep your protest quiet, because Chad is always listening.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, let's kind of... do you guys have anything else to say on Dark Crystal, or should we get into some of the trivia I unearthed on this thing?
Let's get some to some trivia. Maybe that'll spark something.
Yeah, give me the trivia.
Well, so it's interesting. This movie opened the same weekend as E.T.
Oh, no wonder it got crushed.
So, yeah. Well, I don't know if it got crushed. So, it had a $15 million budget, which is, for 1982, pretty damn big. That's, I believe
it increased to $25 million during production. It initially had a different budget, and then it
started with
up.
15, then it ended with more?
Yep, a lot more.
Well, that's not good, because it only grossed $40
million. Yeah.
So, if it ballooned up to 25 or so, then it's not particularly good. But I can understand. If it came out the same day as E.T., you had no fucking chance. Especially a movie like this where they had to add dialogue and narration so that the audience knew what the fuck was happening. That's never a good sign.
Yeah.
But anyway. And if I also mentioned earlier that at the time when this movie was made, it was believed to be the only live-action film in which no human character makes an appearance. But, as Cody mentioned, and as Ryan mentioned, there are scenes where it's little people in the costumes for, like, so far-off shots.
I'm sure it's the Henson Company just being really fucking ruthless with who they consider to be people.
Ouch. Well, one of the things, I haven't watched this, but I'm sure you guys are aware of it. I know the name. So, reportedly early drafts of the script featured Jen and Kira traveling to the underworld, where they encountered a race of underground mining creatures. This was cut, but this concept was later integrated into Fraggle Rock.
Nice. God, that would have been so cool. Like, yeah, give me something else. These fucking... Give me...
Like, once again, take some things from this movie that could have been interesting and expand on them.
Well, yeah, if they had gone to the underworld, that would have been cool. Of course, that would have been even more following in the line of, like, a hero's journey, because, like, a fucking...
It would have been something.
It would have been something different. It just felt like it was nothing.
This, like you said, this movie's a straight line. There's no real ups and downs, really.
Yeah. Damn, Fraggle Rock. Good form, though. I used to love Fraggle Rock.
Well, I mentioned earlier this movie's not a... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nope. Down.
This movie's not a...
That's just the theme song.
Down at Fraggle Rock.
So I said earlier this movie's not afraid to make kids afraid. So Jim Henson's plan with the film was to get back to darkness, the kind that you originally saw in the Brothers Grimm fairy tales. So he thought that kids, he liked the idea that kids could be scared and that this was actually a healthy emotion for them to deal with. That kids can be afraid. It's like you shouldn't shy away from scary things for kids. Kids can take it.
Mm-hmm.
And should be exposed to shit like that.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
I kind of like that too.
Here's my question though, talking about this movie, you know, being for kids to learn or whatever. What's the message?
I don't know
this
what
fucking,
to learn.
Yeah, even Grimm's fairy tales, even basic fables, they have a lesson that you're supposed to learn. What's the lesson here?
Well,
I can answer that.
Yeah, take a stab at it.
It was like,
Ryan,
the gap in language, right? Like they were all the same. It's like they all spoke
all
different languages, but ultimately
we're all
they're
on
all
this
the
earth
same.
The same and not separated, you know, come together, you know, and it's not separate. It's not build a wall and to keep people out. Let's bring them in, you know, and that's what the lesson is.
Ironically, Ryan, and the world we live in now, we are literally built. Like, when we're not recording for the show, we are building a wall to keep out the Terra people.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
It's ironic, but anyway, that's the world we live
in. They don't want to talk, David. They want to eat us. I don't know how many times we have to listen to customers come in here and say, oh, sorry, I can't pay for my rental. The Terra people
stole my
baggage train.
They stole what I was going to barter with.
Terra people. You know what? I guess that's a fine lesson, but like I feel like our heroes Jen and Kira don't learn that. It's not from them.
They certainly don't have an arc.
It's if the heroes are the audience surrogate, our lesson is listen to what people in charge tell you to do because it's going to be better for the world. Because you're going to restore the people in charge to their former power, and then they'll just dip the fuck out and leave you the world. Ugh, I hate this movie.
Well, my last bit of trivia, which I thought was interesting, the Gartham costumes were apparently so heavy that the performers had to be hung up on a rack every 5 minutes to rest while they were still in costume.
Oh, yeah, this sounds like a totally safe work environment. Thanks, Jim Henson.
They're all puppeteers.
They did look like it. They didn't have much movement. They were literally like plop, plop, plop,
shuffling
plop,
around, hurting their backs. I bet they all fucking can't stand up straight now. I mean, I guess no one's standing anywhere. They're not out there in the waist.
The craft, bro. It's a freaking physical thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I guess I don't have to ask Ryan if he'd recommend this movie or not. But Ryan, would into our rating here, would you recommend this movie?
It's weird that you just said I don't have to ask Ryan. But Ryan, did you like this or not?
Well, I don't have to, but I'm gonna ask him anyway.
No, I agree. This isn't Jim Henson's best work for sure, and but I do think there's interesting ideas, and I think for. Like, and yeah, visually it's amazing, and I think knowing the backstory of like what it maybe could have been, where it could have been like this weird, like experimental film almost kind of thing that like nobody would ever watch except for like just like weirdos, is something interesting to me, and how they tried to make it more commercial.
Yeah, I think if it had been that experimental art movie or for weirdos, it absolutely would have more value than it does now.
Yeah, I think so, and so it's not, but I think I would. If you're into just like the puppet thing, I think it's fun to watch, and I don't know, like it to me it doesn't seem that long, but I agree it's not like the most exciting movie ever, but I think it's, I'm curious of what a kid today would, how they would take it watching it, like if they would get a kick out of it or not, because I remember just
kids
being scared.
Kids today, Ryan, are living in the wastes, and that is their daily life, sir.
Yeah,
I don't think a kid from our old time would be invested enough in this movie. I don't know.
Maybe the Netflix show when that came out.
Maybe. Well, if we can ever unearth that, we'll have to check that out, see what that's all about.
Yeah.
But yeah, mine, well, believe it or not, even though this movie, this story is just way too damn simple, almost every scene in this movie drags on way longer than it should. Despite that, amazing creature and set design, and I think it's with that alone. I would give this movie recommend if only, I give it with the caveat being that I would only watch this once, and it might even be a good movie to put on in the background if you're doing something else,
like a party or something, like if you have like a party. Weird party.
I hope we have parties here.
We will.
In the wasteland.
We will have parties again, Cody.
I can't wait. Yeah, if you had this if you had a weird party happening and you had this projected like on the
if you could provide some other sort of enjoyment for your people, this would be fine to have in the background. Because yeah. Who cares? Give them something fun and okay, there's something pleasing to the eyes.
Like this,
but just keep in mind that this movie cannot provide that on its own.
This would have for sure been like projected on a wall in like a bar or a barcade somewhere where everyone's like, "What's that movie? Oh, I remember the Dark Crystal with Dabba Dabba Doo." And yeah, you don't actually watch it.
Yeah,
but
you don't need to listen to it.
Yes, exactly. You just look at it from time to time because it's pretty to look at.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. If you like puppets, then okay, watch it. But if you like puppets, then you don't care. But if you want to watch a movie that has puppets, watch Labyrinth. Watch any other fucking movie with puppets. Because this one is not good enough to be a movie worth recommending. As a piece of puppet history, okay.
It's important in that sense.
But nothing more, I say.
Piece of puppet.
It belongs in a museum!
Well, all right. There it is, folks. There's all you Wastelanders out there. That's Dark Crystal. We'll be back, folks. I'm glad that we were able to... I mean, I don't even know what to say to the guy who came in. I mean, I'm assuming that guy got everything he wanted.
Yeah, I mean... when you only speak,
he never left the store.
Yeah. Okay. The Chamberlain himself came in, so I'm sure he got what he was looking for.
See you next time, folks.
Look into the reflector, Podling. Feel the power of the Dark Crystal.